You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Welcome to the world of the orphans. I know you've all been freshly awakened, but I have my own things to deal with, as we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original audio drama experience. Episode 1, available May 23rd, exclusively at oneofus.net.
Heel Heat Podcast.
We always got the name right.
I'm Eugene Selassie.
I'm Richard Whittaker.
And wanted to do a bit of a better late than never recap of...
Yeah, because let's be honest, we've been talking about doing this for a while. I mean, you already do Smart Country for one of us. So if you don't read Smart Country, you're wrong and weird. You really should. It's one of the great blogs that we have along with all our podcasts here at One of Us. If you're not aware of One of Us, you know, with a wrestling component, but we do a lot of film stuff. We do a lot of everything. So nip over to the site and check everything out at oneofus.net.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's the site of all trades.
It is. Honestly. It's the site of all whoring.
That is correct.
But yeah, Gene is our resident wrestling guy, and I'm... Kind of. I think my claim to fame on this point really is that I do actually ring announce for Inspire Pro Wrestling in Austin. So if you're ever in town, come see Inspire, and you will be inspired.
Awesome. And I also, besides Smart Country, I also am the lead wrestling editor for thescrumsports.com as well.
So ooh.
Check that out.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
So, we basically... Well, where are we in the year? We are now, we're just at that point, we are recovering from...
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania 32. Did they actually call it WrestleMania 32? Because last year was WrestleMania Play.
I believe they dropped the number.
Yeah.
I don't know if they think, oh, it sounds old when you add numbers to it. Honestly, I disagree.
Vince is very aware of his age at this point.
Oh, yes. I honestly feel like it gives it a sport-like feel. And the more that it feels like a sport, honestly, the better.
Which I think is what they really pulled off. But I didn't actually mind. Were you actually on the ground this year?
Yes, I was actually there at the event. I wasn't able to make it for NXT Dallas or the Hall of Fame ceremony, which I was dying to see. But I did attend for the incredibly long WrestleMania.
Oh my God. I mean, I was at home, and I have to say, there were points where I was like, you know what, I'm kind of done for the afternoon. Like, I was fading in or out.
Yeah. And from what I've been hearing, everyone seems to have given it a mediocre to poor review. Perhaps me being there live colored my view of it. I didn't think it was one of their worst granddaddies of them all. But I watched it again, and I kind of see what everyone was talking about. 6 hours there among the crowd, it's a different experience than 6 hours watching it at home.
Here's what I thought about it. I thought there were a lot of really good matches and some really screwy finishes.
Yes.
That more importantly, and we'll get on to this when we talk about like the WrestleMania fallout, that you kind of go, okay... you didn't go where I went with that. I thought you were going to go with that. And then it didn't have any impact at all.
If you look at the Raw after and the last two Raws after, it seems like nothing from WrestleMania actually mattered.
Which, like, There's been years where I really wish that was true, and then this year it was true, and I'm like, that's an even more bizarre decision. So I mean, let's start with the pre-show. I know there was a lot of problems for people getting in. Did you actually manage to get in for Callisto versus Ryback?
Yes, the press. We got in at 3:30. The doors were supposed to open for everyone at that time. Apparently, they did, but I don't know if it was Dave Meltzer that also reported that there were some issues with the scanners.
Yeah.
So people, if you entered in the wrong door, you got redirected, and it took a long time for everyone to get in.
Apparently some doors ran out of wristbands as well. Yes. There were all kinds of issues. And it's like, Jerry, I don't blame the WWE. I blame Jerry Jones for that, personally.
Oh, exactly.
It's Jerry's fault. He obviously clearly went out and hand delivered all the wristbands and set up the wireless.
Yeah, the pre-show, it looked like a half empty house.
Yeah.
I was concerned that it wasn't actually sold out, but turns out it just took everyone a really
getting
long
100,000 people, more or less, depending on what the official actual count was, through the door. But I mean, yeah, let's start with the match. I mean, so, you know, I knew I was going to brace myself, and it was going to be a long night. So I was like, I'm not doing the pre-show. I'll watch the pre-show later.
And first match were Callisto versus Ryback. Callisto defending the United States Championship.
Ryback in his belief. I think he may be the only person that actually believed that the pre-show is actually part of WrestleMania. Apparently Vince was telling people, he's like, no, it is. And I was like, I can imagine the rest of them going, yeah, it's fucking not. But I think Ryback was going, about WrestleMania? It's like, yeah, so's the churro vendor, Ryback.
Oh, goodness. As far as the match is concerned, Callisto, bless his heart, guy puts his all into... Whether it's on...
Everything!
Yes, whether he's on Superstars, Raw, whatever. Ryback, I mean, for what he is, he does his job, and he does his job well, given what Vince and company wants him to be. The match itself, there were a couple of decent high spots. Callisto didn't try to kill himself in this match, thankfully.
Hooray!
We want to see you around for another, as far as life is concerned, at least 30, 40 years. But
we've already proven that WWE does think that luchadors are interchangeable. So if somebody turned up with a really suspect back tattoo and said, I'm Callisto, I'll be like, yeah, no, Devon, you're not.
I honestly believe if Sin Cara showed up to take his place, Vince McMahon probably wouldn't even know.
Ray could turn up and he wouldn't know. Yeah. Conan could turn up, and I'm not sure Vince could tell the difference.
Possibly not.
Yeah, but you know that. And then we went on to the oh my god, we're paying all of you to be on Total Divas. We've got to give you something to do. Oh yes, and by the way, we're not going to announce it yet, but Brie Bella's retiring.
Oh yes, but one more for the Callisto Ryback match. My big question mark. I'm a Callisto fan, however. They were pushing Ryback as a monster.
Yeah.
If he's finally getting the push, that same push that he was getting in 2012-ish, why would you have Callisto beat him on the pre-show?
Because they don't know how to book anybody. You know, I think that's really what it comes down to.
I don't know why I asked that question.
The classic, it goes back to, as CM Punk always put it, make Roman look strong. And
replace that with Ryback.
When he was told to make Roman Reigns look strong, it's like, well, wouldn't it make sense if he beat me? Isn't that how he looks strong?
Exactly.
If he beats me? And I think they just don't. But yeah, I think they've got to have this internal call of like, 50-50
booking.
Well, not only 50-50 booking, but you're not going to put the US belt on Ryback if you're going to actually push him. And more importantly, you're not going to take the US belt off Callisto because you need the US belt on Callisto because he's so popular. This is a guy who needs to be a fighting champ.
Exactly.
You know, and he does not appeal to me. I think he's okay. I never got blown away by the Lucha Dragons thing in the first place. He's, you know, he's good in the ring. I don't know, I'm just like, you are there to be the modern Scotty Too Hotty. You are there to make
not
the tenuals
to mention
really...
pulling in the Latin market.
Oh
as
my
well.
Goodness! Yeah, well, yeah, because Del Rio ain't. Yeah. But yeah, we got the you know, then we had the massive Total Divas, like everybody's here, including oh bless her. Lana's a great manager. She does not need to be wrestling. She needs to interfere occasionally.
I thought she would be ready at this point.
Nope. But although after, yeah, their classic let's not understand the market by having Eva Marie come out and she was like, oh, she's the other. Apparently they honestly thought that she was not going to get booed out of the building. It's like, I know some people are suddenly saying, well, she's improved. I'm like, if I was a wrestling promoter and I'd thrown the kind of money, time and effort at Eva Marie and she wasn't like...
She would have been cut a long time ago.
My God.
It's obvious why she's still on the roster.
I don't think it's even obvious why she's... You know, there are people they could put in that slot and they wouldn't get the nuclear heat. She is just loathed.
Now, let me tell you about
and they
the
made
live
her, like,
crowd.
Made her look like a complete... They spent the entirety of the first two seasons of Total Divas making her look like somebody you wouldn't want to be around anyway.
Exactly.
So she can't wrestle, and her character is annoying idiot who doesn't understand that she can't wrestle. Why would you do this?
Horrible combination. Like, let me tell you, the live crowd, many of the chants that started, if you were on one side of the arena, you may not have been able to hear a chant on the other side of the arena. It was that big of a packed house. This was the one chant that, or one of maybe three chants that you could hear throughout the entire building. This had to have been the loudest "you can't wrestle" chant of any live event I've ever attended or watched on TV afterwards. For a straight 2 minutes, "you can't wrestle" at the top of the crowd's lungs.
Yeah. The only good bit about this was that, you know, Brie Bella getting the win with the yes lock, which was the, I think that was the final, like, you're never seeing her again. This is the final time you're going to see the yes lock. This is, you know, the Bryan Danielson era has gone. Sorry, guys, but, like, this is what it is. And I think that was a nice way to do it. I wish they made a little bit more of it, but apparently they're going to base the next season of Total Divas around it because, you know, the wrestling fans don't really count. but, yeah, then we actually had the actual main show. And, you know,
Well, there
probably
one more match?
No.
I thought there were three pre-show matches.
There was. There was the Usos versus the Dudleys, about which nobody cared. Like, how do you...
I see why you forgot about it.
It's so weird. I remember when the Usos first debuted, and nobody cared at all. And then they kind of got at least a little bit fun. And now they're so far from interesting and so worn out as the, you know, for... Are they going to come out? They're going to do their same spots. And they're just overexposed. That they managed to be... up until very recently, the nail in the coffin of the current Dudley's run. Like, it was just like you're dragging down the Dudley's, who we were all 3 months ago super excited to see.
You want to take away all the heat from a tag team? Put them in a program with the Usos.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is you've got to...
There's no knock to them. They're talented workers, good hands. They're not horrible on the microphone. It's just...
They're not as bad as they were.
Exactly. I don't know if maybe they're just... The creative is just dropping the ball with them.
I think they're the ultimate victims of 50-50 booking.
Oh, yes.
And yes. I think we've just seen too much of them. I think they really are the... You know, they have gone out and they've had a series of 10-match feuds, 50-50 booking... Again and again, and it's like, what is there to see in an Usos match at the moment?
They're not
willing to pull the trigger on splitting them because they've played up a whole gimmick of like you can't tell them apart without ever playing Twin Magic. So it's like, what is there to say about them?
Honestly, they're in the position Kofi Kingston was in a few years ago. The heel turn, I believe, saved Kofi's career.
Yeah,
and I think this is how I would have booked Mania I don't want to bring up the main event yet, but had they pulled the trigger on the Roman Reigns turn, had The Rock come out during that main event, Reigns turn on him, which would have got him nuclear heat.
Yeah.
Uso's turn, join Roman, and Tamina join them.
Here's a thing everybody's forgotten, by the way. Do you remember last year, when it was announced that The Rock was going to be at WrestleMania 32? He was going to be in the Uso's corner, if you remember.
Oh.
Way back when. Do you remember that?
I completely zoned on that.
You forgot that. Everybody did. And I think they're very happy everybody did. But he was supposed to be in the Uso's corner. And you know, it was clear they were supposed to be, they were going to build much more of an angle around them. And then they're just like, this ain't happening. We ain't going to have them on the main show. So, you know, they were the pee break.
It was a blink and you missed it match. And I mean, the Dudleys, great workers. Usos are good, solid workers. Just,
yeah. Well, I think the Dudley, we will get on to later on. Oh my goodness. It's the greatness that is the current Dudley's feud, but we will get on to that.
Yeah.
The main card. My favorite, either my favorite or second favorite match of the night, which was the opening match for the Intercontinental Belt, which was the ladder match with
Dolph Ziggler,
Kevin Owens, The Miz, Zack Ryder,
Sami Zayn, Stardust,
and Sin Cara, which is like, you know, yeah, it's a bunch of it's basically the mid card.
Correct, and I'm normally not a fan of just, hey, we need to get these guys on the main show. Let's just throw them together in a match. However, they spun magic with this particular ladder match.
Well, you've got a bunch of guys who are either really good in ladder matches or are surprisingly good in ladder matches. The surprisingly good is Kevin Owens, but yeah, that guy is... You know, you just put him and Sami Zayn in a room and it doesn't matter what else is happening around them. It's going to be magical.
And there's every time
just read each other
they
so well.
Faced off, the crowd went nuts.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the slow burn build to this feud. Normally, I'm scratching my head like, WWE, what the hell are you stalling for? This makes complete sense. We may get a match by SummerSlam. I'm okay with the slow build.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know that you are going to get it eventually. You don't need to run at it. This is there's almost something more joyous about, like, these are two guys who the WWE deliberately keeps apart, and they keep fucking with each other. They keep coming in, and Kevin's going to screw Sammy over. Because Sammy is best in the hunt.
Exactly.
Whereas Kevin is best with the belt. Like, him going, the reason I want to have the belt, and I wish they'd bring this back more. His idea that, like, the more matches he has, the more money he makes. The more he kills people, the more money he makes. Kevin Owens, the prize fighter, is just, rather than just Kevin Owens, slightly bitter guy, is such a great idea. Because, like, all the best heels, you got a moment where you go, I'm kind of on your side, but do you have to be so awful about it? You didn't have to kill Sammy at NXT. You didn't need to do that. You didn't need to do this. And that's when Kevin is at his best. It's like, I want to like you. And he's so good. And the fact that he's recently been breaking out his frog splash, which they have clearly been telling him not to do for ages, and now there's been some change where they've gone, do the frog splash, which I call the bullfrog splash, because you can imagine that thing coming towards you. That is terrifying. What did you think of the end of that match?
I may have missed this, but there were people stating that the internet was abuzz with info as far as Zack Ryder was doing little short vines or whatnot, and it was getting people excited for, Zack Ryder was, and it kind of hinted at his win. I didn't see that at all. And in all, I like the Zack Ryder gimmick. I respect him. But this, giving him his WrestleMania moment 5 years after the fact, It to me made no sense.
Particularly when, and we'll say this now, they screwed him over the next night and dropped the belt to the Miz. And God, is there anybody who at this point, and people go, oh, at least it's fresh. They've bought Maurice back and he's playing up the whole superstar gimmick. It's like, nobody buys that this guy is a star. Like you, the last time you did this, you broke our hearts by running Damian Sandow into the ground, who is still on the roster somewhere.
Still gets a pop.
Still gets a huge pop because people like him. But he can't even get in the Social Outcasts. I mean, my God, what does this man have to do to get... You know, so I think they screwed the pooch there. My hope for what they're doing long term is that Zach can't beat the Miz, keeps failing to beat the Miz, goes, screw it. I've got somebody that can help me. And you bring Mojo Rawley up and you do the Hype Bros, because that is the best stupid gimmick of, you know, this guy is clearly too old to be doing the woo-woo-woo, and his idiot mate, who he finds really annoying, but they keep winning, so he's okay with it. And I love that. That's such a great gimmick. And if it gets Mojo Rawley in front of a bigger audience, and yeah, he's still green, but I think he's actually somebody that is green, but will benefit from being up on the main roster.
That's my gut. And honestly, a feud with the laughable babyface Hype Bros versus the laughable heel Social Outcasts
would be wonderful.
That's
the fun thing. You look at the Social Outcasts, and there's some really incredible talent in there, and you kind of like, and they're starting to get over. I really believe they're starting to get over. I think now they've given Curtis Axel a slightly different look. You know, they're never gonna be the Four Horsemen. But, you know, these guys that come out and just are determined to ruin your day.
Although, is it me or is Bo Dallas not been getting as much ring time as the other three?
No, they haven't been giving him a fraction. I think they're moving him into a managerial position.
Okay.
That's my gut. You know, I think they're basically making him into the hype man. Because he's good, but he's, you know, his whole thing is he does one move and then he's like, yay, I'm Bo. He's much better as the cheerleader. And I think they're a group that needs a manager. So sticking him in one corner and just saying, look, you just go out and you are the hype guy. And that's the perfect use for him.
Exactly. Although hopefully they won't, it's not the kiss of death of anyone that teams with Heath Slater.
Oh my God. But talking to people who are way more over than they have any right to be, people love Heath Slater for no readily apparent reason.
I mean,
I don't know why.
You got me. I just get concerned. Anyone that joins a faction with him or teams with him,
you're either suspended for 3 months. Oh, Slater-gator was great though, because it really was a guy going, who is this idiot? Why am I stuck with him? Oh, crap, we're winning. Damn. And it wasn't even like, you know, the Hype Bros where they're like, I can handle him. He's like, I really don't like you. But somehow we're good together. That's such a good dynamic.
They made it work.
And it really got them over. And you know, people like Heath Slater. I don't know why. I like Heath Slater. I can't tell you why I like Heath Slater.
I won't turn the channel when he's on.
No. Particularly because I think he's embraced the fact that his character is really grating. And that's kind of brilliant.
As a heel, that's what you want.
Yeah, that's absolutely what you want.
But let's get back. Anyway, Zack Ryder, he had his moment. Whether it was it made any sense from a psychology standpoint, jury's out on that. But let's get on to the next match. One of the only non-stipulation matches of the night.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles.
Oh, my God. Two guys who are going to have a phenomenal match together, but this may be the most botched feud in recent history.
Or rushed feud.
Yeah, well, you botch it by rushing. This should have been the match they had at SummerSlam.
Exactly. The tag program should have lasted at least until the pay-per-view after Mania, which is
Payback.
At least give it a month and a half.
Oh, I think it should have gone through Extreme Rules.
Okay.
If you have Chris Jericho turning on Styles during an Extreme Rules tag team match,
beating the holy hell out of him, with
and having having Styles have a real reason to want to kill Chris Jericho. The kind of heat that you had, it's pretty clear Jericho now has a contract where he goes, I'll come back and do a feud with somebody I want to feud with. I wonder whether they pulled the trigger so fast on this because either they got another feud, well, they got another feud lined up for him anyway. But also he's probably got tour dates in the summer, which kind of like, I hate knowing that Chris Jericho's WWE appearances are predicated on Fozzy's tour schedule. It really bugs me because I'm like, and this was the worst example. This was a feud that was super pushed. I would have bought a Y2 AJ t-shirt, but they went into the sales section of WWE too fast for me to get there. I'm like, well, God damn it. but these are two guys who are like, there's no way you're not going to get a good match out of them. They've worked every style in the world. I mean, I love the fact that they did go, look, AJ is great. He needs to get used to what it is we do because it's really not like anybody else. We have such a house style. Nobody's going to get him over that hump better than Chris Jericho.
And I was in the minority of people who felt maybe he should have gone to NXT if only to get used to the size of the ring.
Yeah.
Because you could tell in the first 3-4 matches, not really blown spots so much as you can tell he was feeling his way through a lot of it. But the match itself at WrestleMania, it was a great match. It wasn't the best these two have put on.
No.
But a subpar match from them is still better than 90% of any other WWE match you're going to see.
Yeah.
The ring psychology sometimes feels like it's lost, and this feud was the look, everyone else on the roster, this is what you were supposed to do in a match.
Yeah.
AJ, you expect tons of high spots, which there were quite a few, but there was a lot of Matt stuff. There was a lot of selling, a lot of sympathy.
That's the thing. Jericho's a guy who can do pretty much anything, and he sensibly has worked out is like what he has to be is the guy that annoys you by denying you the high spots, and then when it means that when you get something like the Phenomenal Elbow, it looks great, looks like a killer.
Japanese strong elbow style that's influencing his work. That elbow looks like it'll take your head off.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest matches I ever saw live was Frontier Wrestling Alliance in the UK. They had a deal with TNA,
I remember that.
They did this one show, and the two closing matches were CM Punk versus Samoa Joe and Chris Daniels versus AJ Styles. And that was the moment where I was like, I'm just sold on AJ Styles. And this is a guy who, even in the worst moments of TNA, was still great. Like, you could give him the worst gimmick, like when they tried to make him Nature Boy 3.0, and he's still great. And you put him there with Chris Jericho, two guys who are like, they're towards the end of their, Styles has been very clear. It's like, I would go to WWE if they offered me enough money. I think they offered him a lot of money, because if they could beat out what New Japan was offering him as the top gaijin, the check must have been obscene.
And
because he had his own dedicated Bullet Club merch as well.
Exactly. And I'm actually shocked because isn't AJ, 38 now?
Yeah, AJ's 38.
And we know WWE is getting really, really antsy when it comes to signing people that are up there near 40. That's why, if I'm not mistaken, Tanahashi is one of the last holdouts of New Japan. I don't think WWE will make a big play for it just because he's going to be 40.
Yeah.
But AJ, I mean, he's got the look. He's got the ring talent. He can work a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
If need be. But, yeah, this match was solid from beginning to almost the end.
Yeah.
I don't see why AJ did not go over in this match.
That was the thing. Zack Ryder going over, I was like, I could have seen anybody in that match winning, and it made absolute sense. The fact that Zack Ryder won, and then they screwed him over the next day in a stupid match, dropping to The Miz, who at this point, everybody talks about, you know, dead weight in the... I mean, The Miz, like Eva Marie, yeah, he's a lot better than he was. Oh my God. It's taken 10 years.
That's not... Exactly. That's not saying much.
Does it? Yeah, it's like, he's got a good, you know, face wash boot, and that kind of jump, you know, smash boot through the jump into the ropes, and then kind of hanging there looking cocky. That's good. How long did that take him? And that's like the only thing that's improved since he was tag teaming with John Morrison of all people. I mean, like, we're done. We're done with this. This was stupid. This didn't help. It didn't help Jericho, because Jericho didn't need it.
Exactly, and we're at three questionable finishes now, if you count the pre-show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, AJ needed it. He really, really needed it. Honestly, I would have preferred if AJ lost all the prior matches and then got his win.
50-50 booking, man. 50-50 booking. Just kills you. Well, and then we had basically an excuse for the okay. We're going to give you 5 minutes of entertainment, purely with the New Day coming out of a box of cereal, a giant box of cereal,
Bootios,
dressed as Dragon Ball Z characters. Oh my God, I love them so much.
The Saiyan costumes were, I was about to use the restroom. I had to go really bad. I waited for that entire entrance because it was a thing of beauty. Xavier Woods, thank you for being such an uber nerd, because I'm sure that's was his idea.
He has said, oh yeah, that was all him. That was all him. And they went, what's a Super Saiyan? And he went, just make the costumes. It'll be fine. Like 20 people will get this and it'll be wonderful.
I will go so far as to say this may have been top 20, perhaps even top 10 WrestleMania entrances of a tag team all time.
I'm saying top 10 WrestleMania entrances, period. This thing was so mind-blowingly berserk.
So berserk and so over. The crowd went nuts. This was one of the three loudest pops of the night.
I'm not shocked. But then you've got them up against the League of Nations, who the next night, they got rid of King Barrett anyway for... reasons.
Well, wasn't Barrett's contract coming
up
soon?
His contract is coming up, and he's clearly
not wanting
he's
to
clearly
resign.
Done. I don't know whether he's... I think he may leave the industry. Is my gut, because I think he's just like, you know...
The injuries, man.
He's so injury-prone. He's so injury-prone. Like, and they keep giving him... having him do a moveset, because he keeps throwing it's all shoulder and elbow. It's like, stop giving him the bull hammer. This thing, which is, you know, if it goes wrong, you are connecting super hard with somebody. You're going to blow your shoulder out. Like, that is just, it's like going to somebody with a broken shovel and saying, dig more ditches. The shovel's going to break at some point.
Give him a big boot. Give him something.
Something. Anything. Well, yeah, but they give everybody over 6 foot 2 the big boot. You know, it's like.
Or now, that was pre 2005. Now it's super kick.
Oh, well, they give everybody the super kick.
Yeah,
I don't think Wade Barrett is flexible enough to deliver a super kick. But yeah, so we have this ridiculous situation of the remaining guys from the League of Nations, aka Jobbers Anonymous, who are now less, considering how much talent is in there and how much all of them have been over at previous points, and how many belts they've held between them.
You would
they're
think,
now less over than the social outcasts. I don't know how you do that.
You would think with a group like that, the problem is booking.
Yeah.
And the writing of these characters. Sheamus at one point was a mega heel. Once upon a time. Del Rio, multiple time world champion, mega heel, was over. Rusev was mega over until he hit the ceiling known as John Cena,
Rusev
and has not been the same
tank
since.
Last year, he had a tank. He
just
was,
a year ago,
he was the greatest heel they could possibly create, and now he's like jobber number three. Which is weird, but like they got the win and they still look like jobbers. And the New Day lost, and they looked like heroes. And then you have the world's weirdest running. Oh, well, shambling.
Where Barrett said, we can beat any 3-man team out there. I don't remember these three gentlemen being a team.
Ever.
You had first Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Wobbly Legs Michael.
Then you had hardcore legend Mick Foley.
And then you have Sound of Breaking Glass.
What?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Pardon? He's a bit deaf.
Yeah.
Which was this weird, like, yay, you get the Attitude Era for a moment, and here's the ones who aren't dead or too strung out, or Kevin Nash, who we're not talking to at the moment.
Or live in, you know, these guys live in Texas, or two-thirds of them.
Yeah, and Foley was going to be down there anyway, because, like, you know, Mick will turn up for the opening of an envelope. I think his daughter probably convinced him to come down. He's like, no, I was like, come on.
Well, he probably did one of his stand-up shows.
Almost definitely. Okay. Yeah, but because he does his... big raffle for Rain.
Oh, yes.
And he always does that and then takes out, which I'm going to buy some tickets for that next year.
I mean, it's awesome.
Insane.
Yes, the raffle, what does the grand prize winner get?
The grand prize was this year was something completely ridiculous.
Tickets to the main show, tickets to NXT, some dinner on Saturday night.
I think it was like tickets to Ring of Honor as well. Just everything, and then like flights, hotel, spending money,
and not to mention it's for a good cause.
Oh, it's a great cause. Rain, which is if you're going through your tax return at the moment and you're going like, I got a bit more back than I was expecting. Give some money to Rain, who are a great sexual abuse survivor charity and really awesome. And Mick Foley is great for doing something for them. But yeah. Like that, I think you also get like a trip to Disneyland on top of that. In fact, he had funny story that he told was that this year the tickets weren't selling so well, and he was really surprised by this. So what he did was he got the guy who'd won last year to do a short podcast, going, "No, it's real." Because people were like, this can't be true. So they weren't buying tickets because, like, it's clearly this is bullshit. It's like, you know, Mick sends you a burger or something. And this guy was like, no, this was the greatest weekend of my entire life. Like, I did everything for a week. Like, this is nuts. But yeah, they kind of, it was weird because I don't know what it looked like on TV, but but on TV, I was looking at it and going, like, out of the three of them, I think I'd least like to be on the receiving end of Foley, because he looked like he was working stiff. Like, I was like, those elbows are harsh.
That was straight out of Hardcore Holly's playbook.
Calm down, man. Like, yeah. And the rest of them were like, you know, Austin was like, oh, God, I've got to do a stunner.
Except for that stunner.
Yeah.
If anyone, you would think League of Geeks would have gotten some mean stunners. The little dancing bit with Xavier Woods, as over as the New Day was, why would you do something to make them look lesser?
Yeah, to make them look like, because it demeans the titles. They came out there, you know, they still held the titles. I mean, they lost a match. Why this wasn't a title match, I can't work out, other than they didn't want to have them drop the belt at WrestleMania, in which case don't put them up against guys that you're not prepared to, that you want to make look strong. None of that booking makes sense.
That was another questionable finish.
It wasn't even questionable, it was a what the hell finish. That was garbage. But, you know, then we go into the, oh my God, I wish this was better. I really, the build up to this was phenomenal. The no holds barred street fight between Lesnar and Ambrose, where basically Dean Ambrose comes out, threatens to hit Lesnar with something. Lesnar takes it off him and throws it away. I'm like, what kind of street fight is this? They barely got out of the ring.
Was it me or did the match? I mean, yes, it was a long pay-per-view, but. Is it me, or did this match seem way shorter than what it should have been?
It felt really short.
I would say they needed another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
8 to 10.
Yeah. And the thing was, it had one of the best anti-promos ever setting it up. And I called it the anti-promo, and it was the one where the week before Lesnar and Heyman were out. Where was Heyman? Where the hell was Heyman? Like, that made no sense. Like, I don't know what the hell happened there. Lesnar comes, you know, Lesnar and Heyman were out there, and Heyman's going, look, you're going to be killed. Like, my, you know, this guy is just going to murder you, Dean Ambrose, and I know you're insane, but seriously, you're going to die. And Ambrose just comes out with a cart, pulls weapons out from underneath the stage, doesn't say a word, and goes back out. I was like, what was the best promo of the year? Nobody touched that.
I had to watch that a few times. I thought it was a bit ridiculous the first time, but I watched it two more times, and okay, I see where they're going.
I laughed solidly the first time I saw it, and then I had to go back and rewatch it just to see what it was he was pulling out, and also then watch it a third time to see the look on Lesnar's face of like, this guy's nuts. What is wrong with you?
One thing I wish Ambrose would do a little more, not rely on his... He has a few high spots. I don't think he needs them.
No.
The guy's got ring psychology down to a T, and when he took that massive... I think it was German suplex number 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Well, I should go back. There, at the live event at the AT&T Stadium, there are... They're typically going to be monitors up at the top for the crowd to see. They had multiple, like 4 on each side. So they had, during the New Day match, during their new chant, hey, we want some New Day. Yep. They had the crowd, you know, chanting along with it. During the Lesnar match, they were putting the number of suplexes up there.
Which seems a bit cheap, but... But kind of awesome.
It's like a stats. So if they're posting stats, it's almost like a real sport. So I'm okay with it. I believe it was German suplex number 3 where it was into the ropes. It looked like Ambrose died, where he just gives a thumbs up.
That's the thing. Ambrose is unkillable, which is why at some point they got to put the belt on him. He's the guy who one day will get through.
Yes.
And will be so crazy once he's got the belt. Like, you need to give him the belt. And you need to give him a good long run because he's the guy who won't quit. And when he's got the belt, he's got even more reason to not quit. That you have to kill this fucker. You have to put him, you know, it would have to be, you know, 3-way Hell in a Cell and he doesn't get pinned. You know, it has to be something monumental to put him over that much. This didn't. This was just disappointing and it should have been much better. I don't know what they did wrong. I'm like, and I keep thinking, like, how do you do it better? And I think it is longer.
Either it's like, the match as is, but Ambrose pick up the win, or if you want to give Lesnar the win, I think they should have made him work for it a little more.
Yeah.
Just, they should have built to the point where Brock just would have gotten pissed at, he's throwing, like, German suplex after German suplex, F5 after F5, and this idiot won't stay down because for his own good, he just won't do it.
Yeah, like it should have been a real, like, it should have been, you know, basically Bret Hart versus Stone Cold, which actually when we get onto the much better event, they actually replayed Bret Hart versus Stone Cold in a different match. And that was a really, really smart piece of booking. The one thing they never do anymore, which is
double turn?
No, too tough to lose.
Yes.
You know, just the only way they will go is by passing out. It's the only way you can take it is, and you both come out of it looking really strong.
We rarely
really
see that.
Strong.
We rarely see that these days.
Why not? But, you know, I mean, this was clearly the moment where they were like, yeah, we got to give, you can't be in Texas and not have Austin. He's going to be here. Shawn Michaels, you probably have difficulty keeping away. Foley's going to be down there anyway. Screw it. We'll do this thing. Yeah. I didn't care. And then we go into this, and I'm like, how can you have a hardcore street match and not have Foley there? Why is he in the New Day thing and not after he has given the barbed wire baseball bat to Ambrose weeks earlier? Why isn't he there? Where was Heyman? Where was any of this? Like, none of this made sense.
Another issue, if they put that much into this match by having Heyman there, by having Foley there, we have to remember this is a WWE PG era street fight, so it's not going to live up to expectations. And sometimes it baffles me, why bother having these matches when you really limit it on what you can do in them. Can't show a little bit of color. Otherwise, Vince will flip out. Another Batista level $100,000 fine.
Better booking would have been Foley comes out to help Ambrose. Lesnar's about to murder him for getting in his way, and Ambrose picks up the win that way. You have Ambrose still as the opportunist, which is what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a guy that like isn't going to lie down, is going to do the right thing, but on his own rules. Lesnar stays as the monster, but having, you know, the thing that gets Ambrose super angry is you threaten this guy that did something nice to him. That would have, you know, hate to say there would have been better booking, but it would have been better booking.
It would have been. It would have been.
And then we had the return of the WWE Women's Belt. Yes.
Thank God.
So happy. Farewell to that Divas nonsense, which was clearly going to die after NXT.
The most condescending championship belt in the 21st century wrestling, period.
Butterfly. As Dave Meltzer has called it, the tramp stamp belt.
Exactly. Yeah. Although, I still don't like the fact that during the women's matches on Raw, they're still playing the Total Divas theme?
Yeah. Screw it.
Do not do that.
Screw that.
If we want the women, we're not going to call them divas. They're going to be superstars just like the men. Fine. Get rid of that stupid music because it almost deflates the audience. You don't want them to think that the women's match is the piss break match.
No. Which this one definitely wasn't. This was phenomenal. You know, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks.
Oh, this was one of the better women's matches in WrestleMania history.
Yeah. Oh, this is... You know, you've got three people there who know what to do with each other. They've worked each other so well. And they're, all three of them, I think, have come leaps and bounds once they got onto the main roster. Sasha was always great.
I think
she had a dip, but she's come back up.
I think the main roster... And I don't... It may be the agents who are putting together the matches. Charlotte is adding a little too much flair. She had her own unique repertoire in NXT, and I think they're playing up the flair angle a little too much.
I think that's Vince. I think that's Vince. I think at the point where Rick finally stops being ringside because they, really don't want to have him around. I think you'll see Charlotte come back as Charlotte.
Yes, and Becky has been made to look like a complete weak. I'm not going to go into my tirade of how they've handled Becky Lynch since her call up, but I have some not kind words to describe the bookers, writers.
The good thing that they're doing is, I think, now her next feud is going to be with Evil Emma, which I'm so happy about because, when you talk about people who are mishandled on the main roster. Emma. Completely mishandled on the main roster. They have no clue.
The list of NXT superstars that the moment they get called up, they get ruined.
But we'll talk about what's happened since WrestleMania the arrival of some of the best bits of NXT.
But this match in particular, was it me or did it feel like this was Sasha's night?
Yes, this should have been Sasha's night.
I haven't felt like this since Daniel Bryan's two matches at WrestleMania 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was obviously his night.
I don't know why they won't pull the trigger on this. You know, because she is somebody who...
They want her in the chase
She's a fighting heel. She's a fighting heel champ. She's so good as a fighting heel champ. And I don't know what their concern is, but... You know, you put her out there, she's great with everybody. She's going to hold the belt by the end of the year. I mean, my suspicions are going to put it on her at SummerSlam, which I think would be the, because where is SummerSlam this year?
I think it's Brooklyn again.
It'll be Brooklyn.
Because of the way it sold out last time, they booked it for this year and next year, I believe, as well.
Yeah. I think they'll put it on at SummerSlam. That's my suspicion. And they... I want her to be a heel or a face at that point because I love her as both. She's so good as both.
Yeah, she can work either. just, I don't know. It
was not the night to put it on. You could have put it on any of them, and it makes a degree of sense. Sasha made the most sense. Then I think Becky made sense. And then I think Charlotte didn't need this win.
Charlotte did not need it. And then the speech that following Raw, once the women's title was, when it debuted, the speech she gave, the first half of it was obviously the babyface, you know, gone are the days of not seeing us as equals, blah, blah, blah. Which would have made a lot of sense had it been Becky. A lot of sense had it been Sasha.
Yeah.
It made zero sense. And then she does a heel turn halfway into the promo. She shouldn't have stated the first half of that
she
stuff.
She did not need... This was not a win that was needed. This was the story of the night. It was like, good matches, bad decisions, bad finales... Including the completely baffling decision to put... Okay. Here's what I don't understand
about... Are we
getting
to the cell?
Yeah, here's what I don't understand about this. And let's talk about what happened on Monday as well. Just because the way this whole thing was booked was so dumb. That Shane McMahon turns up and says, this company is being run into the ground. And everybody goes, yes, it is. Shane, please save us. And he goes, I have a mystery lockbox with a thing... that I can use to blackmail my dad, and he has to give me control of Raw. Vince comes out and goes, you can't use the lockbox unless you beat Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match, which made no sense.
Yeah, let's not get into
that. That made no sense.
Why would Shane even agree to such a stipulation?
That was like, no, here's the lockbox. Screw you. You're fired. Then he loses at Hell in a Cell. And then the next day his dad goes, have Raw. Wait, who? You have 26 writers on this show.
And like, they all just made WrestleMania completely pointless.
Were they writing alternate lines? This is exquisite corpse script writing.
I've already made clear how I feel about how the writing has been several years.
I mean, the match itself was okay. You got two guys with a combined age of 97 in the ring.
I've heard a lot of people said they thought the match dragged on too long. Some people said it was way too short.
I think the thing is that it's impossible to tell with a Hell in a Cell match because there's so much where you're trying to set up. These are things where they're designed for the crazy high spots. And you have to get through those crazy high spots. And you could tell the moment when Shane was on top.
Oh, they were building to
when he was on top of the cell, and the camera cuts to him, and you can see him go, "Why did I agree to this? I am too old for this nonsense. I am 46
years old.
Why am I here? This is a bad idea." And I mean, he for a 46-year-old who hasn't done this in forever. One, his punches finally started looking at least quarterway decent.
In the match, not in any of the pre-match
builds. Oh my god,
worst
punches against local jobber wrestlers dressed as security guards I think I've ever seen. Yeah. Eva Marie actually has better punches.
Whoa.
No, okay. That's too far. That's too far. Lana.
Okay.
Lana has better punches.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll have that. But I didn't understand what was the point of this other than to give Undertaker
another win.
Which doesn't matter anymore because the streak's broken. You shot that hog behind the farm already. Well, like, it doesn't matter.
Wasn't
and there's so many ways you could have booked this that would have made sense for the fact that you are clearly going to give Shane Raw. That could have made Undertaker still look powerful and threatening and a menace.
Now I know
and his own man. And like,
exactly.
He ended up looking like Vince's dupe.
Yeah, but their plans, I know, changed. Because wasn't it supposed to be Cena versus Undertaker?
It was, but Cena's out. And
Cena's out. So, but even then, he's been out long with enough advance notice that they knew that this Shane angle was coming. So they could have booked it way better. You could have had a return of the Mean Street Posse to jump Taker.
Why not?
I think they would have gotten a huge pop.
I know where you can find Pete Gas on the internet, but I don't know about the rest of them.
Ronnie?
Yeah. Thing. Phil.
Wasn't Joey Abs still wrestling?
He may well be, actually.
Somewhere?
God, that's a terrifying thought.
But you could have had the Posse. You could have had Kane somehow turn on his brother and do this as a build to next WrestleMania in the final match, because honestly, I think it should be against Kane.
Yeah. Well, I think both it should be a whoever wins, you both retire match. Like, I am,
or end in a draw.
I am so tired of Kane. Like, this is a guy who there is literally nothing left for him to do in this.
He's a solid hand. I think he still takes bumps halfway decent. He's good for putting people over. He does the Jericho role. Henry and Big Show, I think all three of them do the Jericho role. They're there to get the talent over.
But there comes a point where you go, you've been doing this. You have been the guy that gets talent over for, God, in his case, it was really been 10 years since they seriously looked at him as anybody that was going to go anywhere.
Exactly.
Like, they looked at Big Show as a serious title holder more recently than they looked at Kane. So why is he still there? No feud. He hasn't had the last, it wasn't even a meaningful feud. The last meaningful thing he had that anybody cared about or had any interest with was Team Hell No. You know, and the downside of that was that, you know, I look at it and go, that was part of the long era of them failing to understand you are not going to have Daniel Bryan forever. You know, he's either going to retire, or you're going to not offer him enough money, or you're going to want to put him at the top of the, you know, you wasted 2 years of his career, and then you have him with, you know, put him in matches with, because that's what they do, you know, oh, you're a smaller guy, we're going to put you in a match with horses and clumsy buggers who are going to take a couple of years off your career, or in his case, multiple years off his career. You know, what, you know, that always struck me as a waste of time. And I think it was, you know, classic Vince booking of like, oh, it'll be funny. It's not funny, and I don't want to see that. I want to see Daniel Bryan go out there and deliver shining wizard after shining wizard.
Agreed. Although I will give a little credit where it's due. Seth Rollins tried to spin gold out of that storyline with Kane. It could have gone somewhere. No one pulled the trigger on a really strong feud. I don't think WWE is invested in doing a heel versus heel feud and making it work.
Which is just catastrophic. So
not one of the more memorable Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah. And then a weird Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which, you know, after, I mean, the first one was great. Put Cesaro over fantastically. The second one, weirdly, the first time that the Big Show had ever actually won a Battle Royal.
Which shocking, is like, but
weird. He has been the penultimate guy out on more occasions than anybody else in the history of WWE. But this, they went, look, we'll give you one finally. You're not getting anything else in your career. We're going to give you one. This one, the weird choice, and I'm really happy with it. I did not expect to be to put Baron Corbin over.
Who, I had a feeling it was going to be a dark horse this year.
Yeah. Well, I think it was going to be a dark horse because nobody knew who was in it. And then the completely bizarre decision to have Shaq appear and have a stare down with Big Show.
I'm okay with it. As weird as that sounds, Shaq, every time he's appeared, has gotten A, a huge pop.
Yeah.
B, he knows the product. C, he seems to have good chemistry when he's working a feud or a fight with someone. The chokeslam angle with Big Show and Kane can come across kind of cheesy when they do the double chokeslam. Shaq, when that moment happened, the crowd was into it.
Yeah. And then Corbin's win A, throwing Kane out, so that's me happy. But B, it's like this guy that you go, okay, Corbin is still green. When we had the NXT show in Austin, I saw him fail to understand how to take a DDT. Like, he botched receiving a DDT. Like, you know, wrestling school 101. Day one, run the ropes. Day two, taking a DDT.
Although there are some veterans that... speaking of Kane...
This wasn't just bad. This was he took it so badly that Finn Balor basically shot on him for about 2 minutes afterwards. He beat the holy hell out of him. And Corbin was like, yeah, I kind of... You could tell he was like, I deserved that. I really, really screwed. It was the worst botch of a DDT I have ever seen in my life. The only way he could have botched it more was not falling down at all. And the way he botched it, he started to fall, but then stopped. So he was really... If Baylor had actually had it cinched in harder, he would have ripped his head off his shoulders. He would have blown ligaments in his neck. And I'm like, you would have, like... And Baylor was livid, clearly. Now, Corbin's still got some of those problems. He's not there.
He's still got a long way to go.
But I think it's the right time to bring him up to the main roster.
I think he's gonna
improve. He's improved as much as he's going to improve on NXT. I think you have to put him in the big pond and see whether he's going to become a big fish.
I agree. Although in NXT, he was a beast. On the main roster, there's so many other guys as big or bigger than him.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. And it really seems like, and we'll get onto this in a bit, what's happened in the past few weeks is a clearing of house. And I really think that they have gone, we've got so much talent on NXT, and it's so much more over than anybody else we've got on the main roster. And we've got so many guys who are I think we are heading for the biggest winnowing since they remerged the brands. I think there's going to be a lot of people.
We can speculate on the future podcast.
Future endeavored about that.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, I was happy with Corbin winning this. I really was. Oh, I did not expect that to be.
Another thing, how great did DDP look?
Oh my God.
Isn't this guy like approaching 60?
He's a bajillion years old. DDP yoga works.
Like, sign me up to that.
Yeah. DDP, if you're listening to this, if you ever want to come on this podcast, we will have you in 5 seconds flat. We will buy you a pint of milk or anything. Like, you know, seriously, we will have you because we just know, like, just to know how you came up with all that stuff, because clearly it's working.
Here's
the power of positivity.
Brought Jake the Snake back from the brink, Scott Hall back from the brink. This guy has magic powers.
Talking to the brink, this was the point where I was like, I'm off for a pee. Now, everybody told me that The Rock coming in with the flamethrower, it was like, oh, it's great.
The Dallas Cowboys Chili's.
With the Dallas Cowboys Chili's. I was like, oh, God. He knows
how to milk a crowd for a long cheer for all it's worth.
Here's the thing. I think The Rock is great. And one of my all-time favorite WWE feuds. And nobody talks about this one anymore. And it's a real shame. They talk about other bits. But the 3 years of him and Triple H as constant nemesis, and Triple H throwing things in his way, and him being not even the underdog. He's just the guy who should be the guy, and he is being kept down by this basically Donkey Kong flaming barrels at him, and you're like, that's who you are. And I think he's great on screen. I love watching him in films because he just turns up and he's like, you know, got that kind of like...
He owns a room.
Oh my God, I hate his current persona in the WWE, which is just turn up and turn everybody into schmucky jobbers.
As if the Wyatt family could afford jobbing.
Particularly because, you know, they're having just this horrible period of injuries. You know, they had the Braun Strowman, who was supposed to get a big win, and they clearly
wasn't
went.
They were building towards Brock Lesnar, wasn't it?
They were building to Brock. There was also rumors that at one point that he was going to be Undertaker's opponent. There was also word that he was going to win the battle royal.
Sorry, you're right. It was Undertaker.
Oh,
Strowman.
I think they talked about Lesnar as well. I thought that was rumor early on. And then it was like, just everything falls apart. Rock insults them. You get the start of a great Bray Wyatt promo. I'm like, just shut up, Rock. Just let him go for 2 minutes. So I just want to hear this.
The Rock started putting him over.
Yeah.
He started putting Bray Wyatt over.
And then can't resist. And then, you know, he calls Cena out. And I swear, when Cena came out, yeah, they're like, yay, great. And then I'm sure I could see him go, oh, this sucks. This sucks. I came back, I'm playing second fiddle to The Rock yet again. I may as well get jobbed out with the wires. And all we're doing is burying three guys who should be our top heels. The hell are we doing here? He had that look of just like, oh God, I'm just going to deliver the FU and go home. This was a horrible segment. There's no good reason for this to have happened. Particularly after, like, the Rock-Ronda Rousey segment last year was so amazing and so perfectly handled. This was just like, clong.
And it feels like the Rock meanders when he's on the microphone now.
Oh, this was like an hour long.
And I like the fact that when the veterans come back, it's obvious they're not working off of a script. They're just winging it, which it feels more natural, but dude, wrap it up.
Yeah,
and
particularly when you know that you've got a match coming up that your best hope is that people are going to care.
And the fact that this pay-per-view had already run god, how long? Five hours at this point?
Oh my God.
Your five-hour energy has worn off right during this segment.
And then you go to the match that, why would anybody think that in 2016 we need to see Triple H versus
anyone?
Well, I could book Triple H in a main event against at least 10 people.
And this
who
is coming from someone who respects the hell out of his work.
Yeah, he should not be champ. This was a bad mistake. It did not get Roman Reigns over. I don't know what gets Roman Reigns over at this point.
Other than a double turn, maybe could have gotten him over.
Yeah.
Stephanie maybe turning on Triple H.
Who knows? I think at the end of the only thing that gets Reigns over is
a heel turn.
Is a heel turn.
Heel turn is the only thing that's going to
I don't even know he's going to be. I don't even know he feels like a.
Here's the problem with
a main event heel. Well, I don't know he's going to be comfortable as a heel.
Here are the problems, plural. Roman Reigns, guy's talented. Guy's not horrible on the microphone. He's not horrible in the ring. But, one, pushing him so fast, putting the rocket pack on him to the main event over guys who are obviously better in the ring than him, you had the resentment right there of the internet wrestling community. Secondly, bad writing during his promos. Stuff like tater tots and suffering succotash.
Oh my God, who?
Then
who
you started alienated the casual viewer. The biggest problem, the dude's a badass looking, tough Samoan ex-football player. Why are you booking him like John Cena when you need to be booking him like Brock Lesnar? This guy, in the history of wrestling, I honestly cannot think of a time where someone got over by mimicking the prior person.
Yeah.
Any time that's been done, it's failed. Lex Luger tried it with the Lex Express, trying to be the new Hulkamania. Failed. Am I mistaken?
Nope. Oh, for various other reasons as well, but like mainly because he would like, nobody needs a younger Hulk Hogan with better hair. Not least Hulk Hogan.
And you look at the top three promotions, not just WWE, but I mean, obviously WWE. Was Michaels anything like Hogan? Was Bret anything like Michaels? Was Austin anything like Brett? Was Rock anything like Austin?
Nope.
Was Cena anything like Rock? They were different. WCW. Was Hogan anything like Flair? No. Was Sting anything like Hogan? No. Was DDP anything like Sting? No. Was Goldberg anything like DDP? No. Was Booker T anything like Goldberg? No.
No.
You cannot you get someone over by mimicking the last big thing.
And then the fascinating thing is you compare WrestleMania, which was overly long and frustrating because of so many basic booking mistakes, and you compare that with NXT Dallas, where you just go...
Night and day.
Night and day. You start... I mean, let's just run quickly through the card. American Alpha defeat the Revival to become tag team champs. Now, you know, Gable and Jordan, two guys who 6 months ago were drowning and have now become one of the best tag teams in the world. And the same with, I mean, the Revival. Like, and everybody jokes, who, yeah, which one's Dash, which one's Dawson, which is a great gimmick. Two guys who don't care if you know who they are.
They purposely avoid high spots. They purposely, they fight like old school 1970s or 80s NWA style.
Both of them, I'm convinced, are Arn Anderson's illegitimate children. Particularly Dawson, or maybe Dash. One or the other. The bald one. Looks like an Anderson, which is a brilliant piece of branding for them. These two guys who come out and you put them up against these just ridiculously athletic, you know, just real... If the title wasn't taken already, you call them the Young Bucks.
If I wasn't in the press box and I was down on the floor, I would have started a Chinlock City chant for the Revival, because everything that a heel's supposed to do, slow the pace down.
Yeah. I think they're just phenomenal. Exactly. You know, Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin, which was, you know, I don't know.
Above average match.
This would have been this is the thing. If you'd have put this on the WrestleMania card, everybody would have been excited. Everybody would have been like, this is phenomenal. But, you know, Austin Aries, you know, is just, I mean, when he first was appearing on TNA, I really wasn't into him. He's come so far. I think the greatest man who ever lived gimmick has become so perfect. And he should have had his moment where they came in and went, this guy's great, and then have Corbin be mad at him and build that feud. But I think they brought him in so close to WrestleMania they didn't have any choice but to go fast, because they clearly had their plans with Corbin coming up to the main roster. You know, that was a bit botched, but, you know, they gave him the win. Although then that weirdly means that, you know, Austin Aries is actually better than every single geek who lost in the Battle Royal. So,
but that's not neither reasons, here nor there.
Logic.
Because reasons, yeah. Then we get to...
Oh my God, this just...
Match of the year up to that date for WWE.
Three perfect... Well, two perfect and one near perfect, and the two guys involved made it as great as it could be matches in a row. The debut of the human charisma machine,
King of Strong Style,
Shinsuke Nakamura, in perfect booking against Sami Zayn. How was this not going to blow the roof off?
His entrance alone, the fans... Not one person in the building didn't know who he was. Not one person didn't pop for every one of his facial expressions, every one of his spots. Even the pose hanging off of the ring rope, everyone went insane.
I think it's fascinating that the two biggest pops they've had this year for debuts, well, two of the three we'll get on to, were the two guys who faced each other at WrestleMania. Wrestle Kingdom 9. Nakamura and AJ Styles. And, oh my God. This is one of these guys. It's like Sami Zayn. You just want to see him with everybody because he's that good.
And Zayn just
came out. And I mean, that's the thing. Go online, folks, if you haven't seen it. Nakamura, before he became like the King of Strong Style, really built up the charisma. He had a stellar match with Brock Lesnar when Lesnar was out in IGPW.
Oh, that's right.
It's really good. It's online. It's really, really good. You know, only he got jobbed out, but it's 10 minutes of these two guys. And this is before Shinsuke built up his character. And you're like, God, I just want to see those two guys now. Because this is a guy who, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the most cut guy. But you believe he can beat Seven Shades out of anybody. He is the most charismatic guy they've hired since The Rock.
Exactly.
Like, this is, there's just nothing wrong with him. And you put him in with Sami Zayn, who you love, and like every, they had the best chant I think I've heard all year, fight forever. You just want to see these two go at it.
And both of them recognize, they paused during that chant. It was great.
Okay.
But as Nakamura, wow. There were many people from, I've seen a couple of, you know, reviews of the match, and some people felt that it was not Nakamura at his full badass self. Honestly, I don't see it as that. I see it as this guy has already adapted to the system.
Oh, yeah.
Overnight has adapted to the WWE NXT system.
And that's one of the problems with you know, the New Japan style is you go out and you work so fast.
And so stiff.
Yeah, that it's okay for the New Japan audience who is totally used to seeing that. But it's the same way as, like, you know, the New Japan guys aren't going out and working 4 or 5 nights a week. You know, they're on the road. So you have to work slower in the WWE. It's why you can work stiffer in Ring of Honor. You know, you've got the next night to recover. You don't have that with WWE. No. That's why there's the slowdown. And, you know, and it's like perfectly reasonable. If you hadn't seen Shinsuke in New Japan, there's no way you don't give this a 5-star. And if you've seen Shinsuke in New Japan, you go, maybe this is, you know, under New Japan's way of thinking, it'd be a 4-star. But for Shinsuke in WWE, this is a 5-star match. This is a match of the year contender, guy's first match, and they protected him. They protected Sami Zayn. They both came out of this looking like absolute heroes. Nobody looked like a
rock stars.
Oh,
like
my God.
Rock stars.
Yeah.
And Zayn.
The fact that then the next night, he went out and did that ladder match.
Whoever was the agent for this match needs a round of applause.
I think it was them. I think you stay the hell out.
Zayn stepped it up halfway in. We rarely see Sami just completely lose it. I like this. I like to see where his temper starts getting the best of him. And, I mean, Shinsuke, I mean, we saw a couple of brutal hits early on from him. I believe at around about the 6-minute mark of the match, Zayn was like, screw this. He started wailing on
him. Yeah, and Shinsuke's like, fine. We work stiff. And I think it was two guys who were like, oh. I think with Shinsuke, it was like, this guy can go at the same rate as I can. I'm good. I'm happier. I think Sami was like, I've missed this.
Yes.
I've missed this.
And one thing that I really appreciate, you have to make it look like a fight. A lot of guys tend to get out of hand with their spots and make it almost comes off like Cirque du Soleil. I want to see.
Which is the Usos problem. Agreed. The Usos are just, they are the worst spot machines in the business at this point. But, you know, you go from that, and I was like, how the hell do you follow that? And the way they followed it was Asuka versus Bayley. Again.
Really strong match.
And in a way, it's kind of like, it's almost the same match conceptually, because it's like, it's the new powerhouse you bought in from Japan. Versus
the baby face, the
definitive
adorable baby face.
And yet again, they both come out of it looking so strong. Just tough as nails. Bayley, who is like, you know, your adorable kid sister. She comes out of it and you're like, she lost the belt. But she lost the belt. This is Austin Hart.
Although,
you know, she, Asuka has to choke her out completely in the Asuka lock.
And the fans booed for a little bit. I would say about 3-4 seconds after after the Bailey's loss. But then they started cheering again, realizing we have this amazing champ now.
And also, Bailey's going to go, I got in the ring. Yeah, I'm going to lose sometimes. Because she's not going to get bitter about it. Like, and it's almost like a reinforcement of why you love Bailey that she gets up and she's like, I lost. The better woman won tonight.
Although, was it me or has the WWE refs, the whole lifting the arm up for the one, the two, the three, and then, you know, calling the match, you know.
They didn't do that with this one. They went, oh, she's out. She is clearly out. We don't need to do this. This nonsense.
Is it arbitrary when they do it or not?
Well, she was so clear. I think it is arbitrary. But the thing is, when they lift it, you know that's the gimmick of like, oh, you know, on number three, they're not going to drop. She was out. And you're just like, holy hell. Asuka is getting... And you know, it didn't make Bailey look weak. It made Asuka look like the scary... She's still... I think she's actually officially the scariest person on the NXT roster at this point. Because you're like, she's completely nuts. She terrifies me. And she's cute, but she terrifies me. So many contradictory messages from Asuka. And apparently, I was listening to an interview with Triple H a while ago, and he said, you know, the first time they had her on a match, he was really worried because backstage she was just like really meek and mild. She was like, well, what can I do? I don't know. And he's just like, just go have a match. Like, it's NXT. This is, you know, we've given you this, the gimmick, and just go do it. She's like, okay, I'll do it. And she goes out and it's just like the full blown Asuka from moment one. Like
transformed
the mask,
herself.
Everything. Then comes backstage and just goes, was that okay? I could have done better. And he's like, the hell? Did you not see what you just did? You're a murder machine. Here's what's really fascinating.
Asuka being booked in NXT the way Samoa Joe was when he first arrived in TNA.
Yeah. Here's what's really fascinating about this and what I was thinking about. Why NXT is so wonderful and why, and we'll get on to... You know, the impact of this in a moment. But American Alpha, if they'd have been brought up to the main roster 2 years ago, they would have been geeks. They would have been what Kurt Angle was turned into, the guy wearing the tiny cowboy hat. The Revival would have been the new Johnsons. You know, they would just be just comedy bald guys. Austin Aries would have been given a ridiculous gimmick. Baron Corbin would have been in the main event circuit by now and would have been drowning. Shinsuke and Asuka would have been given ridiculously racist gimmicks. None of that. And the crowd loves that. They appreciate that.
The audience has evolved past that, but the people running the show on the main roster stuck in their old ways.
And then the next day happened. But yeah, then we had the champions, the title bout, which was not as good as it could have been.
No fault of the wrestlers.
Nobody's fault. Joe got, you know, Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe.
For the NXT title.
About 3 minutes in.
The headbutts.
Joe gets bust open the hard way. Nothing you can do about that. But that's going to happen once in a while. It is what it is. You know, people have hit the ropes the wrong way and
got
a cut. It's like, that seems what. But the best moment of this was when the medic came out and starts trying to, you know, look at Joe's eye. And Joe is such a badass. He throws him up, throws him away, picks Baylor up and throws Baylor into the audience, which was brilliant because clearly Joe was like, I don't want to deal with this, but they're going to want to look at my eye because this is clearly not good. I can tell where the location is. But I need to get Baylor out of the way for a couple of moments.
But
I'm like,
wasn't
that's
the
good
second round of the medic trying to check him?
Yeah.
See, I think had he done that with the first time around, they maybe could have patched it up quicker.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, you're in the ring. It's, you know, it's an adrenaline rush.
Exactly.
You don't know how bad it is. You know, all he knows is he's got a bit, you know, he's got...
He's worrying about finishing, you know, putting on a good match, finishing the match.
This, even considering that you lose about 2 minutes of in the worst possible time of a 15 minute title bout to that, it breaks the rhythm. You know, they probably cooled down a little bit. You know, still amazing. You know, if you want to look at a test case of how you make a match really work while you're dealing with everything that can possibly go wrong, bar the ropes breaking, this is how you do it. This is one of those ones where you go, this is how you work around the problems. I looked at this and just went, Jesus, there's a reason why these guys are two of the most popular people in the industry. There's a reason why Samoa Joe is looking as good as he has ever done.
You know, he's a stud. He is Letterman jacket wearing stud that's going to be main event of the main roster. Is stuff like that, like the getting Baylor out of the way so he could get patched up. Stuff like Jericho did a few weeks ago with Neville.
Yeah.
With, veteran minds like that.
Oh, my God. I mean, Joe needs to be the guy that comes up, and there is one match I want to see at WrestleMania already for next year. I want to see Joe Lesnar. Because it's going to be stiff as hell. It's going to be a fight. And you've got this guy who Lesnar is going to go, huh, he actually is scary. You can't have Lesnar versus Haku. This is the nearest thing you could ever have to that.
And this will be the fight that Vince wished Roman Reigns Lesnar was.
Yeah. But that's it. Then we have everything that's happened since then. And here's the interesting thing about everything that's happened on Raw and SmackDown since NXT Dallas and WrestleMania.
Since undoing WrestleMania.
Basically, Dallas. Everything that's happened is NXT booking and NXT debuts and NXT thinking. And I honestly think that somebody has taken Vince away and said, look, you don't need to do this anymore. And there's been a lot of word that, like, rumors for years that he really didn't want to be on TV and they kept bringing him back. And now they've finally looked at the NXT roster and said, these guys are so big and so over that we can just bring a whole bunch of them up and the place is going to go wild and it reinvigorates people. And no better example than when Enzo and Cass turned up and suddenly the Dudleys look relevant again. You have Enzo Amore, who, this wonderful gimmick of this big guy who, he's not the best in the world, but he's so big and powerful that if he's got somebody a little bit smarter than him with it, he's going to do wonderfully. And then you've got this guy who knows he's all heart, but he knows he's not very good. And he's going to get into a fight, and he's very aware he's going to get his ass kicked. He's not going to run away from the fight. He's not going to be Weasley. And the best goddamn man on the mic they've got at the moment. And that promo he dropped on the Dudleys, the Raw after SmackDown, was like, the Dudleys are suddenly somebody I care about again. Everything that their feud with the Usos had dissipated, I'm like, I really want to see you again. And you could see that, Bubba Ray in particular was just like, oh, I want to fight you guys.
Yes.
I want to do this. This looks like it's going to be fun.
This is a program I'm going to
This
enjoy.
Is going to be a blast. Enzo coming out and saying, I'm going to slap Devon's lazy eye so hard it's going to get put to work. You're just like, this is fearless and this is what we want. Then the Ford villains turning up. Oh, my God. I was so terrified they were going to botch them coming up. I'm like, nope,
see,
great.
Now,
you guys belong up here.
The difference being, like, Enzo and Cass, I think there's going to be some longevity. A lot of people do compare them. I see the similarities. They are to 2016 what the New Age Outlaws were to 1998. I think these guys will have a little more staying power. Vaudevillains, great in the ring, great on the mic when they've gotten on the mic. The gimmick is my only question mark. I think the gimmick does not have that long of a shelf life.
I think it does. I think it's there's somebody you can't put out there too much. But they're also one of these ones that you want to have the right amount of exposure for, because you want to have them go out and have people go, oh, this is old school wrestling. These guys are old school grapplers.
Which I think works for the revival. I think the revival on the main roster, you can do it. The vaudevillains, I like the gimmick, but it's so gimmicky.
It's so gimmicky, but the thing is that it's them going, we know this is a gimmick, but we believe this is right. That's why I like it. I think they've got, honestly, a bigger chance of getting over long-term than the Lucha Dragons do. That's my honest belief. And mainly because Simon Gotch is somebody you absolutely should be following on Twitter if you're not, because this is a guy who is like super nerdy, has totally embraced the gimmick. It's 100% him. He's really good. And he's like Dean Ambrose. He's worked out how to modify his own personal style so that if they ever do take that restriction off him, go and watch some of his indie stuff. And it's like, yeah, this guy's just great.
They both of them are, I think, are phenomenal athletes. I think the test is going to be is the WWE audience going to be as kind to them as the NXT audience? Because when you get chants like "This is manly" or "Put your dukes up," the NXT audience is smart enough to be in on it to get these guys over.
I think
the WWE audience, I don't know.
I think the test is going to be in a couple of markets. I think if they can get over in, Portland, if they can get over in Chicago, if they can get over in Brooklyn, if they can get over in places like that, I think they're good. Oh, and I have a lot of confidence in them because they absolutely sell the gimmick. And in person, they sell the gimmick, and I think that's a lot of what will get them over. But I think what those two debuts.
There was another debut that kind of iffy on.
Yeah, which one?
Apollo Crews.
I think they brought him up too soon.
I agree.
I think they brought him up.
Great
way.
Athlete.
Oh,
great.
I think it's phenomenal.
He's amazing. It's just
you and also
main roster this what? Soon.
The way you could do it and it works is you have him go. It's the moment when he made his debut at NXT Brooklyn, and they had the mic on him when he came in, and he looked at the camera and just went, "That's a lot of people." And what you had, the way the game over is, they're kind of like, he's cheerful, he's enthusiastic. You have him be the guy who is cheerful and enthusiastic and knows he's pretty seriously out of his depth and really has to try that much harder. And he's got the tools and he's like, I know I'm not there yet. And, he's the plucky fighter. You make him basically what Cena was in the early days. After the Doctor of Thugonomics, when he was kind of like the good guy who knew he wasn't quite there yet. And is trying to push himself. And I think that's how you get him over. But yeah, I think it's way too soon to have him over.
That's how you get him over. But honestly, I believe that he really, his physique got him up to the main roster. And they needed someone as agile as a Neville.
Yeah.
And that was their choice.
But at the end of the day, I think, we come out of this and we're in a much healthier place than we were before WrestleMania. And it's nothing to do with WrestleMania, which is the weird irony of this.
The Raw after WrestleMania truly does feel like a season premiere of the show, if it was in that format.
Unfortunately, it's like Dallas when they wake up and go, oh, Bobby was in the shower, and like none of this bullshit happened.
It was the most jarring season premiere. The episode was lay the foundation that will make for some entertaining future stories, but you just shat all over the previous season finale and made it irrelevant.
Anyway, we have detained these good people for way too long this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in.
You want to get your plugs in?
Oh, yep. Like I said, read Smart Country, read everything that Gene does over at
oneofus.net.
And
also at thescrumsports.com.
And also, if you're in Austin on April 26th, I will be ring announcing for Inspire Pro Wrestling. So please, please come along. Again, thank you for listening to this One of Us podcast. There are plenty of other podcasts on the site. You can also become a subscriber, which helps pay for this kind of stuff. Just look on the website. You'll see subscription rates. They start at super low, and they give you access to all kinds of additional exclusive content. I think we're done for the week. We will see you after Payback, I think, is when we're next planning on convening. when hopefully, you know, some people will be back from the injured roster. Not everybody will be dead.
No more dreaded X's.
Oh, no more X's ever. Thank you and good night. Ding, ding.